There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Chaos Round, a week where we had suspensions, lockdowns, hub issues and injuries, and all that was even before a ball was bounced. Now, to talk about, or more to the point, complain about it all, is Archie. What the hell was that the last 7 days, Arch?
Mate, what's it been the last 7 months? It's been a crazy year. It's 2020 altogether, isn't it?
Oh, it just sums it up. And it's sad, we're calling this Chaos Round, but you know what? We might look back at this in a couple of weeks and go, yeah, that wasn't Chaos Round. And wouldn't that be scary?
Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely, mate. We had people dropping left, right and centre. We got teams getting out of Victoria as fast as possible. And hell of a lot to cover on this podcast tonight, mate.
Don't we? We've got a massive one, so we're going to get into it. All right, Arch, up first. Now, I'm going to go grab... I'm out of beer at the moment, which is really bad, I know. But I'm just going to go jump in the car, race over to the bottle shop, grab some beer and come back. And hopefully you'll be done by that time, because you're doing injuries this week. And, God, wasn't it a bad week?
So, mate, you could jump in the car and drive to a bottle shop on the Gold Coast and still get back in time, and I might just be finishing. So... Let's get started. So it all started off on Thursday night with Dan Hannabry, and he sat out the last quarter with what's becoming quite a regular occurrence here, the old hamstring injury. So he is going to be out for a little while. They did grade it on the minor side, but obviously with his injury history, they will be cautious.
That season, just write it off.
Yeah, well, just about. And I must admit, I'm only going through the ones that are reasonably fantasy relevant. It's not even all the injuries from this week. Jake Stringer on Friday night, I think it was, he was having a pretty good game, despite all the commentators calling him fat.
And,
Zayna, I tell you what, if I was that fat, I would be very, very happy.
Mate, I don't know what he's going to do. That's just, to be fat shamed like that is just gut wrenching. It has to be.
Yeah, gut wrenching.
Yeah. You got that, did you?
Nice one, but he did end the game in a moon boot. So Essendon have advised that it's another one of the dreaded syndesmosis injuries, Zayna, and it may require surgery. So 6 to 8 weeks for that one.
Yep.
Then in the Eagles game, so both Luke Shuey and Jermaine Jones both did hammies in that game. Jones was actually having a really good game, and I was sneakily adding him to my watch list for both salary cap and draft before he did that hammy. Luke Shuey is on the minor side, apparently, so reports are that he will be back not for the derby but for the game after that one.
For about 3 weeks, they said,
Hope to see... Jared Cameron come in. He'll be a bit of a like-for-like replacement there, I believe, for Jones, that is. I believe he's over his injury, so hopefully we'll get to see him this week against Adelaide.
Yep.
Then the big one, Zano. Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon Parfitt, he almost got my bad or ugly this week because he actually played really, really well, and he's been tackling like an absolute beast. I think he's averaging 10 tackles a game since he's been back from injury.
Yep.
The problem was one of those tackles just happened to pop the shoulder out of Matt Rau. Now, before we jumped on, I was watching a bit of AFL 360, and they had Stewie Jew on, and the way they're talking, they're not talking short term. They're talking season. They're saying, we're not going to risk him. He's only young. We've got to do what's in the best interest for the kid, all that sort of thing. So I would be surprised if we see him again this season. So he's a definite trade.
Yeah, and I heard, watching some more, listening to some reports, reading some stuff earlier, that they've had the scans and they are looking at opinions around possible surgery. So... even being that it's a possible surgery thing, that's not playing for a while if it's that bad to start off with. So, yeah, he's sucks because we were almost going to look at keeping him most of the year, but now we're going to have to find a replacement somewhere.
I would have been quite happy to have him at having an M8, I reckon.
If he was my M8 by the end of the year, I would have been very, very, very happy, I think, Arch. But we're going to just have to keep navigating our way through the crap show that is 2020.
Yep. Okay. And Brisbane's Cam Ellis-Yolman did another calf by the looks. So keep an eye on that. Again, he was having a pretty good... Well, actually, no, he wasn't having a good game.
No.
I can't remember, to be honest. All these games seem to meld together.
He had a shocker week one. He was doing better this week. Sort of, you could see he's been building the last couple of weeks, but...
That's right, because, he came in for Zorko, didn't he?
He did. And he had a good okay. He had a poor first game, but better this week and probably better next week and, just slowly building into something. But, that guy... Yeah, he's got calves made of sticky tape, I think.
Yeah. And to top off Matt Rowell's zero, which we didn't mention, Zano, he got us a zero on the field there. A lot of people would have Bailey Smith as well. He's been an absolute beast during the first five rounds there. And he got crunched very, very early in the game and went off with concussion. Looked like a bit of a head clash there.
Yep.
So I haven't seen any reports on how he's pulled up, but the one definitely hurts, especially if you're, like most people, taking the zero with Matt Rowell.
Yep.
Depending on how bad it is, I'd actually expect him to come up today. Come up this week. Unless he's got lingering issues, and I don't think he's had any concussion injuries previously, so hopefully he'll just work through that and he'll pass whatever tests he needs to today or tomorrow. Yep.
They are
good to go.
They are only playing Carlton though, so it might be a chance for a rest as well. So watch this space for sure.
And rookie, is it Leif Vandermeer? Leif
Vandermeer.
Yeah, he got concussed right at the end of the game, and he was having a really good game as well.
He was having a blinder,
Yep. A lot of people may have kept him on their bench after they brought him in for his, I think he had one or two games earlier.
Yep.
And came back in this week. So hopefully he will he'll be okay again, much like Bailey Smith, and get a game this week.
Mm.
And the third concussion of that game, Taron Thomas, he went off in the second quarter and never came back, obviously. North Melbourne, in that case, not Bulldogs.
Yep.
And another North Melbourne. Now, this was interesting, Zano. Ben Cunnington.
Mm.
He was named to play. We know he's had the back injuries the last couple of weeks that have forced him out. And he just didn't look fit. And I think Rhys Shaw basically admitted it in the post-match press conference, saying he shouldn't have played him.
Yep.
So I would expect him to be out again this week unless he... unless he significantly improves.
Yeah, there was something going on there. He's not right at all. So I wouldn't think he's playing anytime soon again, Arch, to be honest.
Yep. And Sean Higgins is another one, Zano. Now, you put this one in. He looked to hurt a knee late in the game. So have we seen any more on that one?
I haven't. It was only sort of mentioned by the commentators at the time, and I haven't had a look at anything else yet. But just watch this space. Yeah, they were talking medial. It looked medial is what they said. So
yeah, okay.
I haven't heard any more or seen anything else, so not sure how bad, but just keep an eye out. Who knows these days? A medial injury could also be back in a week's time, so you never know.
So a fair bit of carnage out of that game. Moving on to Fremantle and Rhys Conker. Look, not fantasy relevant, but the only reason I'm mentioning is because it's yet another hammy, Zano, another soft tissue injury there. And then the big one, Richmond, mate. Haven't they been absolutely spanked by injury? We'll get into the whole hub stuff later.
Yep.
But before they even headed up to the Gold Coast there, they lost Nankervis and Prestia, both with ankles.
Yep.
Both look like syndesmosis injuries.
I heard both. I'm sure both were... confirmed surgery today, I think.
Yeah. So. Yep, exactly. So that they will be out for significant periods of time. So if you've got Nankervis in draft, I hope the hell you've handcuffed him with Soldo. And if you're struggling for a ruckman, a fair chance Soldo's on your waiver wire there. So just go and have a look, because pretty much I reckon he will be straight in.
I have to be.
Then we also had Trent Cotchin there. He did yet another hammy, Zano. So his luck with injuries is definitely not improving after he missed probably 5 or 6 weeks last year with hammy issues.
And I reckon that was a light hammy that was only supposed to be a week or two as well. So
yep, that's it. And lastly, we have good looking Tom Lynch. Now he's got a broken finger. He did strap it up and play through it, but Hardwick said again on 360 tonight that pretty much it'll be a 1 weeker. So good looking Tom Lynch out as well for the Richmond team there.
Yep.
And then, lastly, finally, the replacement, Mitch Lewis. And again, not overly fantasy relevant, but guess what sort of injury he did, Zona?
Mitch Lewis, I don't know. I reckon it must have been something to do with a leg arch. That's the sound of it.
Yeah, it was a hammy. Who would have thought? He did a hammy as well. So I'm not counting him up this week because I don't have enough fingers, but there was a fair whack of hamstring injuries there. Throw in a couple of syndesmosis. It was just it's probably the worst injury weekend we've had to relevant or reasonably relevant fantasy players for a long, long time.
I can never remember a list this big, Arch, but we called it out early on that professional sports coming back early at the moment are causing a lot of injuries, and now we're sort of 4 weeks back. The bodies are getting sort of a bit beat up and a bit sore, and it's hopefully it stops, but I wouldn't be thinking it will. So who knows?
All right, Zano, so I need to take a bit of a breather after all that. Why don't you run us through the suspensions for this week?
So the first two are pretty basic, not much to really worry about. There may be a little bit in some draft leagues, but nothing major. First up is Lachlan Murphy from the Crows. He's copped you can accept a one-match ban for his rough contact or dangerous tackle against Adam Chera on the weekend. And Hayden Crozier's copped a week for rough conduct as well. So they were the two not overly relevant. They're definitely not much in salary and a little bit in maybe draft, and that's about it. Now, two suspensions, still side bottom arch. Now, this happened
this happened just after we recorded last week, I think.
It did. So it happened prior to the round, but he missed 4 weeks, so he's got three left. Now, the reason he's going to miss, and if this was a visual media and not audio arch, everyone would see me making the inverted commas with my fingers here. But he's going to miss, according to Eddie McGuire, because he drank scotch.
Yep. Couldn't handle his scotch.
Couldn't handle his scotch. And some reason was found walking half naked at 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was around Melbourne. So, look, nice dodge there, Eddie. But I think a few people have stopped buying that stuff now. That leads us into option two for the Pies at the moment.
And hasn't been a good week for the Pies.
No, Jordan DeGoey, who's in a bit of strife at the moment for an incident a few years ago. No, we're not going to get into that. Now, he actually hasn't been suspended, but he will miss 1 week because he actually has to return two negative COVID tests, Arch. He had to obviously break protocol because he had to go to the police station to discuss his charges. So he had been initially cleared of that. Obviously, there's been some new evidence or something's come up. He's had to go on.
So he was originally cleared by the AFL Integrity Unit.
Yes.
But my understanding is was an ongoing investigation with the police who have now charged him.
Right. So all that aside, he's then had to go to the police station to front up to the police, breaking protocol, and now basically going to be ISO'd until he gets those two tests back. So he's going to miss at least 1 week and wait and see on the rest of it. So, interesting week there, Arch, where the two biggest suspension issues weren't related to football at all. So
no. I should be interesting. I reckon, actually, I'd be fairly confident, we've had more suspensions this year, like in terms of weeks, for coronavirus than we have for actual hits and stuff on the field.
Triple. Have to be.
Yeah.
Easily.
You've got Steele's 4, DeGoey 1, then you've got Wines 1,
Zerk Thatcher
1, Connor McKenna 1.
There was someone who got 2
there
at Essendon.
There was a Melbourne guy as well.
One Melbourne guy got 1 and one Melbourne guy got 2. I can't remember who they were off the top of my head. Yeah.
We're at double figures anyway.
Yep. And all we've had this year is Crozier, Lachlan Murphy, as I mentioned. Schofield got a week. Yep. I can't think of many others. Arch?
Yeah. There was another 1 week one, I think.
Merritt got a week.
Zach Merritt, yep.
That's only about it. So it'd be at least double, I would have thought.
Probably double,
So, yep. And
when will they learn? I mean, to be fair to DeGoey, he didn't have too much of a choice there. He had to go on front up. So, that is what it is. Yep. And we probably can't count that as a suspension. It's just... He's not allowed to play.
It's not a suspension. He's just got to go back and follow isolation and rules there, which is that's a bit rushed being suspension, but more from a fantasy point of view, he misses a week regardless. So, that's... Look, Arch, it's a weird wheel. They say expect the unexpected. Now, I would love to have known what sports bet we're paying about this time last year to have the greatest suspension being COVID-19. I reckon you would have got pretty good odds on that.
Well, I don't reckon it would have even existed because nobody knew this time last year.
Maybe January. Maybe if I could have put $2 on it in January, I'd be pretty much rich by now. I'd be taking the payout of about $1 million. So
I reckon. Now, Zano, speaking of coronavirus, this has caused some other issues in the AFL over the last week or so. And hasn't the noise coming out of Victoria been deafening when they have to move versus when everyone was telling the Eagles and Dockers and that to just suck it up and go when they had to do it?
It's been interesting. To be honest, Arch, I wouldn't say the noise is deafening. There's one club, I think, coming out of Victoria that's been a bit deafening. And we'll probably get to them in a minute. But, look, we're going to have a quick sort of discussion, not discussion, just a quick chat here about where the clubs are going and what they're doing. Now, as we've sort of... Look, after Victoria's blown up with what's happened at the moment, we're all aware of the COVID issues in Victoria, the AFL has... You could possibly call it panicked, but either way, they've gone, you're out, we're getting you out, and we're getting you out now. So, basically, all teams as of... pretty much today being Monday, I think we're flying out if they hadn't already. So there's really going to be nobody left in Melbourne now to play football. So what they've done is they've sent Geelong and Collingwood to New South Wales this week. Then they will fly out to WA the week after for probably a three-week stint, I'd imagine, in WA. Then the rest of the teams... So St Kilda is at Noosa, North Melbourne, Carlton, Essendon, the Dogs and Richmond, they're all up in Queensland. So
Carlton's at Noosa as well.
And Carlton's at Noosa as well, of course. Yes they are. So they're all up in Queensland at the moment in Noosa's not far from the Gold Coast, of course. So they're all just running their own little hub up there. There's a fair bit of fly in, fly out looking in between Sydney and Queensland at the moment. As I said, Geelong and Collingwood fly over, play the Friday night game. Is that correct, Arch? Next week? It's either Thursday or Friday, either way. And then, of course, the Derby's on the Sunday, if I remember rightly. And then we haven't really got any fixtures after that, I don't think, from memory.
No, it only goes straight around 7.
Yep, and then
so,
I'd imagine...
Yeah, you're right. So Geelong plays Collingwood on the Thursday.
Yep.
And Eagles play Dockers on Sunday. Hopefully, I don't think they'll allow crowds to the Geelong Collingwood game because they're still technically in quarantine.
Okay. Yep.
But there's talk that they'll have crowds to the Eagles and Dockers game.
Yeah, well, they've come out and said they'll have 30,000 at the Geelong Collingwood game and 60,000 at the Eagles Dockers game. So we'll see how that goes with a few other things going on, but. The thing is, these guys have been isolated in Melbourne as it is and are constantly being tested. So, all it'll take is for one person to come positive and all that's out the door again, isn't it? So,
exactly.
And then I expect we'll see the next 2 weeks of Geelong and Collingwood, playing the Eagles and the Dockers retrospectively. And then I'd expect they'll probably fly back to Queensland and we'll see two other Vic teams come over to do the same 2 week stint. Play Eagles Dockers. And then from there, who knows what's going to happen? Eagles and Dockers and Adelaide and that. That'll have two teams in and out of there as well, I think. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But at some stage, they're all going to probably have to get back together on the East Coast to finish off the season. So we'll have to wait and see on that. All right, Arch. Now, the other thing we're going to bring up quickly here is, and we're not going to go through all of these because we will be here to midnight, but DPPs, of course, were launched yesterday evening for AFL Fantasy and the first round of changes. Now, you're just going to run through, there's probably, I haven't counted them, maybe 25 blokes there, you reckon? Maybe 30?
Just counting them now. Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot. I think it's 25. Yep, that'd be about right. 25.
Hey, mate, that's not deliberate either. So 25 guys, you're going to mention about three or four that have got some level of, because we're not going to worry about, you know, other lines that have picked up midfield because it doesn't give us any relevance, but other than a bit of switching here and there. So you're just going to mention the guys that have got some relevance, aren't so far away?
Yeah. So what we'll do is I'll find the tweet from the AFL Fantasy guys there, and I'll retweet that through the @OTLSAUS handle there on Twitter if you haven't seen it already, but I'm imagining if you're listening to us, you've probably seen it already. So, yeah, there was a whole bunch of changes there. None that are super, super relevant, but there's a couple that I just want to touch on, Zeno. So the first one is, we spoke about him before, is Steel Sidebottom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's been given forward status, and he's now worth 800,000, averaging 94, and he should be back round 9, is the current ETA. So obviously a 94 averaging midfielder in this time and place is actually pretty good. A 94 averaging forward is pure gold,
isn't it? It's especially in a year when we're absolutely struggling for forwards as it is. So that'll be great to try and find a way to get him in. It'll be great in drafting. When he's got Sidey in a draft league in fantasy, he'd be absolutely stoked at the moment.
Yeah, so absolutely,
that's where it'll be the best. But yeah, definitely be keeping an eye on trying to get him at some stage if he comes back okay.
Yeah, yep, that's it. So I think, and the good thing is by that time, Zano, hopefully a few of these bloody rookies will have maxed out and we might be able to have a bit of bank there to do a downgrade, upgrade, maybe look at doing an Andy Brayshaw up or someone like that.
We'll get to the rookies after. Some of them may have already maxed out.
Yeah, well, that's very true. That's right. Okay, the next one is teammate Tom Phillips also got forward status there. Mm. Now, if you're looking at something, potentially some value, what you're banking on is that he's going to have a better second half of the year than he did a first half of the year. There was a time a couple of years back where he was a genuine option there for AFL fantasy. Now, he's currently priced at just a smidge under 600K, but he's only averaging 59. And I thought I'd go back and have a look and see what he did without Sidebottom last week, because I thought, oh, well, maybe he's had a bit of a bump there. No, he actually went backwards, so it's 51. Trelaw, so keep an eye on him this week.
Yeah, covered that.
Because there's also no DeGoey this week, but also keep that in mind, in that DeGoey will likely come back the week after there. But just one to sit there. Look, he, at the end of the day, he might be worth a fly on if you're looking at F6 somewhere around there. Yep. And if you're struggling for cash to upgrade a rookie, look, he could be one that you go to.
Look, keep an eye on him. Again, I think there'll be more relevance there in draft. Leagues that can got him in the midfield that can throw him forward. At the moment, you'll take a 59 in the forward line if he's one of your players there. So, look, keep an eye on him. I don't think I'm too excited in salary, though, Arch, to be honest, at this stage.
No, look, and same with these next three guys. So, look, they're worth mentioning because they're the most relevant ones, but I'm still not falling over myself to get them. So Jack Bowes is the next one. Now, he got DPP in Ultimate Footy last week or the week before, I think it was.
Yeah.
And again, more for draft leagues. So he is priced at 587, averaging 69. So again, costs less, averages more than what Phillips does. So if you're looking at between the two, he's probably the better value there.
Yep.
He plays Melbourne and Sydney, both in Sydney in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, look, Sydney obviously gave up a few points to the Eagles on the weekend, and Melbourne aren't going fantastic, so it might be worth having a bit of a look there.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think he will take any of Rowell's minutes, to be honest. I'm expecting someone like Fiorini to come in and take those.
Yep.
But again, if you're struggling for cash and you can't get up to a Lloyd or somebody like that, it might be worth having a look.
For sure.
And lastly, we've got Libba. And again, I only mentioned because we needed something to talk about. I don't think I would go near him, but he's been given forward status. He's 575K and averaging 61. My only thought was if Bailey Smith has really bad ongoing concussion issues, then potentially that could see Libba go back into that inside midfield role and get a bump there, but that's a really big flyer there, Zana.
Mate, you're streaming him for a week if Bailey Smith misses in a deep draft, and that's about it if he's on your waivers. I wouldn't be chasing him in a trade or in a salary format at all, I'm afraid, because he's just as likely to get injured this week as well as anybody else out there. So, nah, look, good, probably, yeah, as I said, probably good stream. That'll be about it.
So that's it, Zano, for the relevant ones that we could look to bring in. Other guys there, as you mentioned, have gained midfield status. So for argument's sake, like a Petrarca, gives you a little bit of flexibility, I guess, but there's no point going over those guys because we know what they can do.
Exactly.
And again, And we will send out that list via the OTLS Twitter handle.
Beautiful.
Right, Zano, so that leads us on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, you're going to kick us off this week with your good. And did you actually manage to find someone?
I did, Arch. I didn't have the worst week going around. I dodged a lot of bullets that a lot of guys copped. But I'm going to give it to Sam Naismith. Now,
interesting.
You might ask, how can I give it to Sam Naismith, who's done an ACL and was out the week before? Now, of course, we do feel gutted for the guy, another injury, so you know, a bit of tongue-in-cheek here, there's nothing in this, but if he didn't do his ACL and had to come out of my fantasy team, I wouldn't have gotten Grundy in, Arch. It would have still been him and Pitonet sitting in my rucks. So
yep.
Once he was gone, the goal was to get Grundy in. I was able to do it. And not just that, after the loophole fail on Thursday night, made Grundy captain. So that was about my only saving grace this weekend, Arch. So my good is definitely forced trade that came off.
Yeah, nice. It's Grundy's been going beast, and yeah, you know, haven't the rucks just been amazing this year, just in general?
And across the board, because we can even go back to Naismith and guys like Pitney and English, ROB, Goldstein, Gorn, of course. They've all been absolutely tearing it up. So there's plenty of value there in the rucks, and it's been nice to... like it's even turning out that Grundy and Gorn were value. Who would have thought of that? So it's been good
and
so
it's
far.
Gone back to the times, Zano, where they're just running with most teams are just running with one ruck and then pinch hitting somebody else for maybe 3 or 4 minutes a quarter just to give the ruckman a bit of a rest. So what we're really seeing is just hit out numbers just go through the roof for individual ruckmen.
Absolutely. I haven't checked this week, but if I remember rightly, before this round started, Goldie had played 100% of game time.
Yeah, I think he might have had a bit of a rest with Sherry coming in this week.
Yep.
But I'm not sure if he rested on the bench or down forward.
Yeah, I didn't look at his time on ground, but that just gives you an indication of how they're playing these guys is.
Yep.
16-minute quarters. So, you know, you're already saving 20% of their actual running around time so they can stay in there a lot longer.
Yep.
All right, Arch, let's move on to your good.
So my good, Zano, so funnily enough, is another ruck. And as we mentioned, in a year where fantasy scores have been absolutely dominated by rucks, it's no surprise, really, that the best all-round fantasy game for the year was by a ruckman.
Yep.
And when I say all-round fantasy game, the reason that I mention that is he actually scored 1 point less than Jack Viney did in round one.
Yes.
But get this, Zano. Not only did he score over 125, which is one of the metrics that I keep, I think he's the fourth person to do that this year. He's the second person to record a 5x5, which is five things in each category or in five categories.
Yep.
And then he also got a triple double. He was the fourth triple double.
Yep.
Second 5x5 of the season. So just for the record, I just want to go through his stat lines, Arno, because this is pretty impressive.
It is.
12 kicks, 10 handballs, 33 hitouts. That gets him his triple-double. Throw in 5 marks and 6 tackles.
Yep.
He actually had his 5x5 about 3 minutes into the last quarter.
Yep.
It was just crazy. He also had 3 free kicks for and none against, giving him that total of 131 in fantasy. And also, just quietly, a nice little 163 in Supercoach. So, for all that, Zano, it's without a doubt the best fantasy game we've seen this season. He gets my good.
Yeah, look, he went beast mode. And in one of my comps, I was talking to a guy from my draft leagues, and it was actually going to be a reasonably close contest coming into the last couple of games of the round. And he had Gorn. I didn't have Gorn. And by about halftime, I said, she's all over. So, look, he went beast mode, and it, rightly so. He had a great, great game. One of the best games I've seen in a long time.
All right, Zano. So I've just had a look at your bad. I've seen whom that is. So first off, I want to issue an apology.
Yes.
I traded him in this week.
Oh!
So potentially, it's my fault. So you get into your bad, and I offer my sincere apologies.
So, funnily enough, Arch, it hasn't been a shocker for this guy, but we're talking about Jack Crisp, of course. Pies and the decimated Pies at the moment. And I'm sort of talking about his fantasy dream team scoring, Arch. He's been good in Supercoach. I've got him in Supercoach, and he's been really good there as well. But, look, as I said, he hasn't been terrible all year, but he's only averaging 68, which is an 85 pre-COVID score, non-COVID score. So it's not terrible, but he's had scores of sort of 59, 82, 79, 69, and 53, and it's definitely lower than what we would want him to score. It's been underwhelming is the way that I would put it. So hasn't been devastating. It's not like he's a guy that you're looking at going, I've got to get him out of my team. But I just wanted more from him. A guy that had so much potential this year to be an 85, 80, 85 current scoring player and just fallen away. He hasn't been able to do that yet. So watch this space. Who knows what happens at the Collingwood Football Club. But, yeah, he's been underwhelming at best, Arch.
Yeah, so I was tossing up whether to bring in Crisp or Maynard this week.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, we all know how that turned out.
Oh, I told
went Chris
you.
Because I know he's got a bit more history there. It was the safer option. I should have just gone with my gut and gone Maynard.
Yeah, I've got both now at the moment, so I was happy regardless. But I told you to go Maynard. I'm sure I said Maynard's one of I'm all on a Maynard at the moment. But nah, look, mate, what do you do? It's not the worst thing that's happening to us, but it ain't been pretty. All right, let's go on to your bad.
I'm going with rookie scoring in the mids, and I'm sick of it. Now, obviously, we can't blame Matty Rao for getting hurt, but a zero is a zero is a zero.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it sucks. But you throw in that I also had Tyler Brown on the field, so he got me a whopping 19 points.
Yep.
And normally I would give myself the bad for playing the wrong person on the field.
Yep.
But on the bench, I had McInerney's 38, Hibbard's 28, and a DNP from Butler sitting in the utility spot.
Yep.
So I can't even do that. I also had Sarong on the field for 44, which, look, that's probably a BCV 60, I suppose, 65. But we're looking for a little bit more with Fife out. The only saviour was Noah Anderson on the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Hopefully, with Rao being out, he can step up and he can start getting those 80s or so for us. But it was, it was hard to look at.
Look, Arch, I'm going to run straight into my ugly because it's a nice little a segue into that. Now, I know you've spoken about the midfield rookies. I'm going to talk about rookies full stop, right? Yep. Now, I'm going to talk about AFDT scoring here because they've been reasonably good in Supercoach, which, of course, is a different ball game. I am going to rattle off a list of, again, maybe 30 guys on here, and I'm going to do this quickly, of rookies that have been, or rookie price guys at least, that have been relevant for us this year, right?
Yep.
And what they scored on the weekend. So we'll start up with Butterick's 21.
All right, before you go, Zona, yes. I'm going to give a pass-fail on each of these ones.
Okay, no worries. Okay? Butterick, 21.
Fail.
Townsend, 53.
Fail.
Ben King, 47.
I'd give him a pass for what we expected.
Starcevich, 37.
I'm failing him based on what he has been outputting.
Sarong, 44.
That's a fail.
I think so, because he's such higher priced. Anderson, 64.
That's a definite pass.
Brander, DNP.
I'll pass on that one myself. I can't grade him if he didn't play.
Well, you can still a fail, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Wasn't there for us. This one, Green, 59. But, of course, we all traded him out after he dropped after one round, so that was just lovely.
So I'm going to fail that one because he didn't hold his spot and we all traded him out.
Fair enough. Caldwell did not play.
Yep, okay, so by your logic, we'll fail that one.
Yep. Young's, 58.
I think we'd have to pass that one.
Yeah, I think just. Be higher price start, but just. This one of my only saving graces for rookies on the weekend. Curtis Taylor, 74.
And 100 in Supercoach Zano, and guess who I had on the bench?
Oh, no, I played him. I actually got to play him, and I sneakily also looped Townsend, 79. So I had I nearly cracked 22 in Supercoach this week, but that's with a Rao zero as well, but we won't go there. But that's a pass for sure.
Yep.
McCasey did not play.
Fail.
Robertson did not play.
Fail.
This guy, Tyler Brown, 19.
Fail.
Hibbard, from the Essendon format, 28.
Fail.
Rivers, 31.
Fail.
I think I've got the wrong King. I spoke about Ben King, Max King there, but that's not the one we're talking about. Ignore that. Vandermeer, 76.
That's a definite pass. He did really well before he got concussed. And so it could be a fail if he doesn't get up this week. This week.
Exactly. Gardner did not play.
Fail.
Sturts, 42.
I'm going to fail that.
And not just that, I reckon he had about 25 to quarter time, so he found an anchor. Georgiades did not play.
Yep, fail.
Bennell did not play.
Fail.
McHenry, 37.
Fail.
McInerney, 38.
Fail.
Darcy Cameron sitting on our benches.
Fail.
Again. Is this guy, like, most of us didn't even start the season with him, Arch. We've brought him in for his one or two games, and he's still that guy sitting on our benches, isn't he?
Yep.
This guy's absolutely just locked away that spot. Kavara did not play.
Yep, that's a fail.
What's his name? Sarries, 25.
Yep, that's a fail.
Jones had a 36.
Yep, before he got injured, that's also a fail.
Davis did not play.
Fail.
Butler did not play.
Fail.
Art, in his first game, had a 54.
Yep, I'm taking that one. It's about the only good one there, so I'm going to pass him there.
Yep, and of course, Matty Rouse, 0.
That is a fail only for the fact that it was 0.
Absolutely. There is a lot of disaster there, Arch. We've got maybe five guys that we gave a pass to, and I guess you probably have, other than Vandermeer, I think the others are fairly well owned. But out of a list of pushing, 25, 30 blokes, five.
Yep.
Five got a pass of our rookies. So.
And the scary thing is, and I think it's just going to get worse this weekend.
I do too. I'm looking over this list, counting Butterick, Sarong, because there's a big chance Fife's back this week. Butterick, Sarong, Brander, Young, one of Young or Sarong are likely to miss, I think, if Fife comes back.
Yeah. Well, Fife won't be back this week.
No, they're talking today that it's high chance that he'll be back. That was on the radio this morning, they said initially 1-2, but anyway. So there's that. You've then got McCasey, Robertson. Brown's likely to be dropped. Hibbert will be lucky to hold his spot with Zerick coming back. Rivers had a shocker. Vandermeer might miss with concussion.
Don't forget those stringers going out, so he might hold his spot there.
Oh, he might be lucky there. Georgiades not getting around at the moment. Bennell's, God knows what's going on there. McInerney should be okay, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Zeri could be out. Jones could be out. Art should hold his spot. And, well, Matty Rowell, we're expecting to possibly be fifth season. So there is some carnage coming in the rookies, Arch. So we'll get a question about the rookies and mid prices in a minute. But yeah, watch this space. It's going to be a rough round, I think. All right, Arch. Now, if that was my ugly, I'm hanging out for your ugly at the moment because we haven't heard it this year, but I know it's coming.
I know. You're ready for it, Zane?
I am.
Sit back. Here we go. I know you've been waiting for it all year. It's James frickin' Cecil.
There he is. He's back.
Hey. So he had a horrible game last week and only just got out of being in this category last week because of one good quarter.
Yep.
But he thought, you know what? That one good quarter, I think that was probably enough.
Yep.
So on the weekend, he rolled out for, I think it was a 31.
Yes.
So 36, sorry. I've dudded him by 5 points.
Yep.
36.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, Zano, I've got too many other issues in my team to be able to trade him out. I'm madly trying to do a trade with, we got Big Cox in one of our keeper leagues.
Yes.
Just because I want him out of my team. But he's not budging, so I might have to work a little bit harder with that. I've got him in fantasy, and this probably speaks more to my own predilection for self-harm, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I've got him in fantasy, I've got him in two keeper leagues, and I've got him in super coach. So, yeah, why do I do this to myself, Zane? Why do I do it?
Don't know, mate. You just, if you didn't, we'd have nothing to talk about on the podcast, so I'm okay with it. I've only got him in fantasy. I've got him in one or two. I think I've got him in a season draft as well. But really, just fantasy is my only issue there. I'm the same as you. I can't even look at moving him. Depending on what pans out this week, I'm looking at possibly getting Brody Smith, okay? And
he's one to keep an eye on, isn't he?
Yeah, we'll come to that. He's underpriced at the moment. Depending on, it just depends on what cash we're going to have, right? And if I do that, That currently lists Sicily as my worst defender.
Yep.
And I don't have Lloyd yet. I've got Maynard in there. I haven't got Lloyd. I'm trying to think who else is in there. I've got Doc. I've got Laird. So there's still two or three guys that should be in there well ahead of him. He has, yep, in five or six rounds, possibly gone from my second defender down to my sixth. Yep. And I've brought one guy into my back line. How bad is that?
Yeah, it's not fun, Zane. It's not fun.
He is an absolute spud nut. I wish he'd just punch someone so I'd be forced to train him out. Because then I've got no choice. But in the meantime, we sit there and hope every week and just wait for him to have his 120. And they think, great, he's back. And then for the next 4 weeks go, I give up on this guy. So
the problem is, Zano, I watched a bit of the Hawthorn game and they're just not using him to link up like they did a couple of years ago.
No.
You know, they used to use him as that link up player across halfback and they're just not doing it now. So all his possessions that he's getting are actual just normal possessions as a defender. He's not getting the easy plus sixes that he was getting, you know, even 12, 18 months ago.
No, I don't know if this impacted him much. I don't know how much of it you watch or how closely you did, but I think Toby Green gave him a bit of a scare at one stage as well. So
yeah, right.
He took a mark in a pack, as he does, and then went to do it a second time, and Toby Green said, no, thank you very much, and gave him a little clip across the ears. So, you know. Yeah. I'd be afraid of Toby as well, but that was early on in the game. But anyway, I'm feeling your pain there, Arch. The guy is absolutely painful at the moment.
And you watch, the week I trade him out, he'll score an 80. Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Easily,
without trying. So,
yep.
That's all good. Should I stay or should I go now?
All right, Zano, so we've talked about our crappy teams. How are we going to fix them? You're going to lead us off this week in the should I stay or should I go. What are you doing in your formats for your, you know, across the different formats for trading?
I think it's fair to say now, Arch, that Matty Rowell, who I've got just about everywhere or have got everywhere in salary, has to go. It's time. The lucky thing with, now we talk about lucky, we'll try and turn it around positively, I guess, is that, God, he made some money for us. So...
yeah,
there's actually a bit there to do something with. It's you don't need to find much more than 100 to 200K, depending on how much money you've got in the kitty, to get yourself up to a premium somewhere along the lines. So at this stage, in Supercoach, it's basically Raoul to Maynard via a bit of DPP. And then I'll be looking at a rookie on the bubble, which will be someone like probably Arts comes in.
Yep.
Whichever one of my spuds is dropped, because they're all going to be dropped. So I'll pick... the biggest issue there. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned yet, Arch, but the first thing to remember in our fantasy now as well, we've gone back to two trades a week. So
I know, we're all, it's depressing, isn't it?
I needed three badly the rest 12, of the season. Exactly. So we're back to two trades a week, not the three. So I'm looking to move Raoul. I've got Maynard now already. I'm looking to move Raoul into someone like a Simpkin or a Brody Smith, but we'll come to that a little bit later on in the question that we've got. And in DT, Arch, I've got absolutely no idea. I'm just praying to the gods that some miracle happens there and my team, I wake up and it's back to square one again, because that's just a mess. But I'm going to have to move Raoul into something there. So who knows when I'll be able to do that. But that's it for me, Arch. What are you looking at doing?
Yeah, so funnily enough, for once in my life, I've actually done trades in all three formats to see what I'm looking at on a Monday evening.
Yep.
Normally, I don't look at these till sort of Wednesday afternoon once that first lot of teams get released. So in AFL Fantasy, I'm looking to move King or, depending on selections, whoever's my most expensive rookie that's potentially not playing. I know King will probably play, but I need to make money, which will be evident in a second. So I'll go King to Arts. I think Arts will hold his spot given the injuries. And as you mentioned before, Zano, he scored quite well. Then what I'm actually doing, similar to your Rowell to Simpkin, I'm actually looking to bring Whitfield back in. Now, he looks to have bottomed out. He's got a break even of 43 now.
Mm.
So potentially you could hold off one more week on him, but now's about the time to start to look to jump on him. I will be playing him in my midfield and then look to move him forward over the next couple of weeks. That leaves me with a whopping 2K. in the bank, and not the NBA basketball game either.
No.
Literally $2,000 in the bank, which is why, yeah, depending, I think if Brander doesn't get named this week,
he'll be one, yep.
I'll look at dropping him down to somebody as well, just to get a little bit of extra cash.
Yeah.
So that's AFL Fantasy. In Supercoach, I still held Naismith.
Okay.
So I'm going to trade him down to a cheap rookie ruck, yep. Ideally one that's playing. I mean, I've currently got Draper in there, but could be whoever. And then I'm going Raoul up to Cripps. I've got enough money to do that there. Even though Cripps was a little bit scary with his first half, but geez, didn't he come back strong in the second?
Yep, he did actually, yes.
Real dream team, I'm looking forward to seeing the end of Tyler Brown so he can go to Mitch Hibbert or somebody else like that. Maybe even
one.
Arts again. Yep. And then Raoul, I'm going to do exactly the same as you, Zana. I'm looking at Raoul up to Simpkin and move Simpkin into the forward line at some point.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking at. It all revolves around Raoul. And what I don't want to do is go Raoul down. I'm pretty dead set on going Raoul up.
Yeah. Look. Yeah, I mean, you can go Raoul down, but there's not really many midfielders you can go down to. That's the problem.
No.
Unless you're going to do some DPP action somewhere. There's really, other than Arts, there's not really anyone that you're going to chase this week on the bubble anywhere. Yep. So, yeah, there's not really anything to do there. Look, you can go Raoul down to someone if you could find someone and then go somewhere else up. It wouldn't make much of a difference, but... yeah, I'm the same as you, Arch. I'm looking to move Raoul to a premium. And funnily enough, in all formats, a premium that'll actually then get moved into another line afterwards.
Yeah.
So that's where the value seems to be.
I think that's where the value is, Zano. Mm. That's the thing. He hasn't... if we had another 3 or 4 weeks for him, if we were going to trade him out, he would then potentially have made another, you know, potentially even another 50 grand.
He had
and
a break
we could have
even.
Got rid of a couple of cash cows over the next couple of weeks.
If I remember
and
right,
had enough to go up to a full primo.
If I remember rightly, he had a break even of -3 this week.
Yeah.
So if he kept scoring at his 80 plus, he could have got another 200K out of him. So, but that's.
But yeah, as I say, those other lines are where the value is because the midfielders are scoring pretty well for midfielders, but the forwards and the defenders are where the value is because they started at such a low point.
Exactly.
So we're looking at, as you say, your Simpkins and guys like that, who, yes, they've gone up a ton. But they're still reasonably good value for what you're getting out of them.
Oh, yeah, still very low break evens, and we'll come to another guys in the question in a second. But guys like Simpkin, Maynard, even Petrarca is still low enough. Yo's another one. There's a few guys that we're going to have a look at in a second that have all got a bit of value there.
This is just a bad dream. I'm going to close my eyes, and when I open them, everything will be back to normal. That's not normal. Not close.
All right, Arch, that's going to throw us into the new normal. You're up first. Let us know what is your new normal.
Well, Zano, we spoke about the injury list before and just how many of them are hamstring injuries.
Yeah.
So for next week's run sheet, I'm just going to put a blank template in there of insert player's name here, hamstring injury, 3 weeks. I'll just do that 4 or 5 times, and then I'll just put the player's name in when it happens, because it's going to happen.
Yep.
My new normal is just general hamstring injuries, aren't it?
Yeah, and you can
pretty
follow...
pretty boring, but that's what it is.
You can follow it pretty closely with calf injuries and syndesmosis and concussions as well at the moment.
Yep.
But hammies are well and truly taking the cake there.
All right, what about you, Zano? What's your new normal?
My new normal is having BT tell us 30 times a game how the teams are getting it so wrong and coming out early after the breaks and just waiting around for the siren. BT, once is enough. He would have had to have sent it 20 times in one of the games I was watching on the weekend. If I was sitting next to him, I would have punched him. Said, shut up. It was deplorable, Arch. Like, come on, BT. We know that you like to go on a bit, and we know it's, you've done it your whole career, but, you know... the new normal of him telling us that teams are wasting time in their huddles 20 times a game. It's just too much, BT. It's too much.
So I'm glad you brought this up, Zana, because I was looking for somewhere to fit this in. I was going to have another little sook, to be honest.
Good.
The commentary in general on the weekend was like deplorable. You used the word deplorable, Zana. I think that's a really good word. So, yeah, you had BT going on the weekend, and Dwayne Russell was just as bad. You know, going on, was it BT that called Snell?
Yeah,
Snell did
like
this,
that.
Snell did that, yeah. And then Dwayne Russell talking up, I'm sure it was Dwayne Russell that did the Eagles game, talking up how good Nick Nat was rucking, he might as well have been rucking against me. Sydney didn't have a ruck.
No,
that... of course he should be doing that. And he's just saying, oh, Nick Nat's been so dominant, and, which he was.
Yep.
But everyone could see it. And, you know, if he wasn't, it would have been a talking point if he wasn't dominant. Put it that way.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that, Zano, is I wanted to talk about one play-by-play commentator who's new to the game, well, new to AFL for play-by-play. He's been doing a lot of cricket. We've heard him a lot in the Big Bash. He's also done supercars and that sort of stuff. And the best thing about him, Zano, is he doesn't have a footy background.
Yes.
So he's not saying what he thinks should happen. He's just calling it as it happens. And he's not trying to add additional excitement like what McAvaney and BT have been doing the last few nights.
Yes.
He's just calling the game it is. I'm talking about Mark Howard. Now, we've banged on a bit about his podcast, which is awesome, so you definitely should listen to that.
Definitely.
But I'm actually really enjoying Mark Howard's just general play-by-play commentary because who knew, Zane, eh? He actually just calls the game.
I like Howie. I've always liked Howie, and I agree, Arch. The way he was calling it, him and the other one that I love because he's very similar, he's got a footy background that he just calls the game, is Brayshaw as well. Doesn't dribble anywhere near as much as the other guys and does a good job on it. But I did, when I read this earlier, Arch, I did giggle when I saw your Mark Howard scene. You know what it reminds me of? The Sutcliffe debacle.
Yes.
For those that are
absolutely good, for those 12th man.
For those that aren't over 40, just go listen to the 12th man about the cricket, and you'll know what we're talking about. But
Wide World of Sports 2, I think that one was.
I think it is the Sutcliffe.
Don't you remember the Sutcliffe debacle?
It was.
I think that's his best.
In fact, I think the Sutcliffe debacle came up after that in the last. Not the last dig. It was one of the other ones, but the whole Sutcliffe story came apart in World War, in the Wide World of Sports,
the Wide World of Sports,
they
too,
brought that one up later on. So we won't tell you the story because if you are under 40 years of age and not heard of the 12th man, please go have a look.
The problem is, Zano, is a lot of those references are probably outdated now. You know, we miss them, like Bill Laurie and Tony Gregg and Richie Benno. They're all gone. So if you're under 20, you probably don't even know who half these guys are.
No, but if you follow cricket and you love cricket, you'll have a laugh at it regardless.
Absolutely.
Because you might not get the stuff back from the 70s, I think he started out, in the 80s, but you'll definitely get his more recent stuff with a few guys like Mark Howard and Tubbs is in there and Heels and a few of those guys are around as well, Warnie. Yep. So see it there. Anyway, we could talk on about the 12th man. I could just about recite every single second of it from day one. So we won't do that. But nah, Arch, I agree. I think Howie's been great so far, and hopefully he can continue along.
All right, Arch. We can do some more games.
Exactly. Let's get into a couple of questions we've got. So up first, we've got old mate Crafty McBeerface off of Twitter.
Yep.
Now, he's got that longer question. He had split it into two parts on Twitter, so well done there. After stepping on Howe, Naismith and Brand to landmines last week, then the Bailey Smith and Rao combo this week, that's just
wow.
Yeah, just, we said that someone's going to have it all. I'm only just hanging on to a decent ranking at 1329.
What? 1329.
I'd love to be looking at that.
He's not hosting this podcast, Zano. I know. I wish my ranking was that.
You could add a zero to the end of that and still be ahead of me. Question is, mind you, let's say that's fantasy. In Supercoach, I'm sitting just outside of that, which is lovely. So, different format. Question is, I have four rookies on the field, but also some mid-price stepping stones like Viney, who have done their job and are ready to be moved on. To get back up the rankings, which takes priority? Working on getting rooks off the ground or getting pretenders like Viney up to Uber premiums?
All right, Zana. So I haven't had too much of a look at these ones because my lunch break got used up pretty quick today.
Yep.
But on the face of that one, I know you've had a bit of a look. My thoughts are you've got to get rid of the rookies first.
Yeah.
Viney's not going to lose you any money. Well, not dramatically anyway.
Yep.
But you can make more, or you get better benefit by upgrading the rookies to somebody who is going to increase your scoring. And Viney, you can worry about down the track.
Exactly. Look, I'm 100% this rookies first. Look, those not quite premiums are probably going to get you the 70s, you know, 80s maybe, probably the 70 mark and 75 mark. Now, we just saw from some of the rookies, they're likely to get you a 20 at the moment. So
yeah, I know.
You've got to get them and move them on. Now, the other big part is, we spoke a bit about this from a question when we're doing the preseason. And
yep.
we're starting already to run out of cash generation and time.
Yep.
So we sort of spoke about how we're going to struggle to get to full premium with the time frame and to get enough cash to do that with the time frame. So if it comes to the back end of the year, because we're effectively almost a third of the way through, right? Very close yep. to it. You know, I would much rather be sitting there with Viney on my field than someone like Tyler Brown. So for me, it's still get on those rookies. And as the sort of next 3 to maybe 6 weeks goes on, it may be opportunities to get rid of those rookies to mid-prices. And if you've got a Viney sitting there and if you've got somebody like maybe a... I'm trying to think. I can't even think of someone on top of my head that's underpriced at the moment, Arch. But someone well, like...
I mean, Whitfield's the one that sort of... Or are you talking yeah. existing?
I'm a little existing. So Whitfield, yeah, not so much. But I'm talking about guys that we don't expect to be premium, you know? Yeah. Instead of... At a stage, instead of having all premiums, you might have to split a premium or two premiums into two mid-prices, you know,
yep.
In the midfield. So that's what I feel we're going for the season, because doing a bit of the stats and looking a bit of the numbers, we're not going to have enough cash to get the full premium. We're just not. Yep. So, as I said, I'd rather have a Viney sitting there and, yeah, maybe a Bewley is another example in my forward line,
yep.
Rather than having to play a, look, Curtis Taylor's been all right, but a Taylor or a Butterick or a,
Butterick,
anyone
yep.
like that, you know, so look, sorry, a bit long-winded. No, rookies first.
yep, yeah. You could have just said that, Zana.
Rookies first. I had to explain. You're done with it. Rookies
Save
first.
Save yourself 10 minutes.
Exactly.
All right, next question from Ando Wallace. Fellas, are there any mid-prices, so 400 to 700K you've got your eyes on? He's looking at Haynes, Whitfield, English, and Hibbard direction. Thoughts? Now, for myself, Zano, of those guys, the only one I'm looking at is Whitfield, maybe with a little bit of Hibbard.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going Hibbard at the moment because he's been okay this year, but he's been poor the last few years, so I just don't know yep. what to expect there. For me, the two obvious ones that are under 700K are Whitfield and Yeo at the moment.
Yep.
They're your two.
Yeo's a good one.
Yep. They're your two
and
obvious
just
ones.
Keep an eye on Tim Kelly as well.
Yep.
He'll be getting down in price as well. And Eagles obviously heading back to Optus soon.
Yep.
It could be worth, everyone's obviously going to be trying to get to Gaff, but those two are probably going to be a couple of hundred K cheaper.
Yeah. And look, also just think they've got Adelaide this week. So
yeah,
that's going to be a bloodbath. They're the
we
two.
We can hope.
Yeah, they're the two most obvious ones for me. Then the other two are Simpkin. And the other three, I've got a Simpkin and Maynard. And the other one that I like, Archie, is Brodie Smith. Now,
ooh, interesting, Zana. Talk me into it.
He hasn't been great this year, but he's bottomed out now. So I think from memory, let me find my numbers. He's averaging 62. No, he's not averaging 60. 60 sorry?
60.2.
60.2.
Yep.
So he's averaging 60, right? So he had a better game on the weekend. We know that he's about a 90 player when he's up and running. So yep. by my account, he's actually still way unders.
Break even of 24.
Yep. So if you 577,000 in fantasy, if you're ever going to jump on him, now's the time. So we talked about getting rookies off your field. He's the perfect sort of example that you can use for that, because if he's going to come on over a Stasevic, you're going to prefer him sitting in a Stasevic at the end of the year. So
I'll tell you what, Zano, just having a look at his numbers, take away the first 2 weeks. So he scored 35 against Sydney,
yep.
45 against Port Adelaide.
Yes.
He's then gone 73, 73, 75.
Yeah, So we know that he's about a normal 90 average, which is probably about the 75 mark, 70, 75 yep. mark. So I reckon he's back up to some pretty decent form. So he's one for me that I'm really looking at the moment, Arch. And at this stage, he's probably coming in this week, because then I can just keep pushing Sicily, that spud, further down the list. Eventually he'll be rookie priced on the bench, which will be perfect. So good cover for me. Now, the other one that I actually like, Arch, and it'll take some pretty big kahunas to jump on this guy, is Jared Berry from Brisbane. He has been sneakily good at the moment. Now, he's priced at 641, so he's up there little bit more than a few guys. He's not overly priced. He's averaging 75 for the season.
Yeah, right.
Current break even of 5. So he's one guy that's been sliding under the radar up there. And as I said, it'd take some pretty big ones to jump on it. But I do like what he's doing at the moment. He'd be
beautiful POD. Looking at what he's trotted out, Zane. Mm. He scored 35 round one against Hawthorne. And then he's gone 62, then 87, 116, and 77. So I don't mind it.
Yep.
I don't mind it at all.
He'll fluctuate a little bit.
He does have a bit of a tough run. They've got Geelong and then GWS over the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. If you're looking for some value there, that's a good one to look at.
He's a huge POD, right? Like, what's his ownership, Arch, if you've got it open at the moment? It'll be sub 1%, surely.
Hang on. What have we got? Let me just try and find it. Nope, can't find it.
Okay. It'll be low. It'll be a POD.
Easily at hand on the mobile, I'll put it that way.
He would be a POD regardless. So anyway, that's just a few of my thoughts. But for me, I think I'm chasing either Simpkin or Brodie Smith this week, Arch, myself. I think that's who's going to be coming in. Because I kept Whitfield, so that puts me a step ahead now.
Please get Brodie Smith so that you can put him in your ugly next week when he spuds it up against the Eagles.
Yeah, well, there's that as well. But we'll wait and see. So cool. All right, Arch, we've got one more from AJS. Fire away.
Yeah, so look, not really a question more than a statement, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
He's just the famous, Simpsons gif of Homer eating donuts. He said, just pray for our rookies, otherwise it's donuts. And he's absolutely right, mate. So as always, we're hanging on by our fingernails waiting for Wednesday night and Thursday night selections just so that we can hopefully field a frickin' team.
And as I mentioned earlier, I rattled off, 8, 9, 10 guys that are hugely scary for us at the moment. So the good news is half of the Richmond team's not playing, so there might be a few guys available to us there. So, and the other good news with injuries, Arch, is someone's got to play. So we might see a few debutantes, who knows, or a couple of guys that have been out, like a Pickett or a Bennell types, might find their way back in. Fingers crossed, but that's dead right, AJ. We're panicking as well. Look, thanks again, listeners. That's it from us again this week. As always, hit us up on Twitter and our stuff at overthelinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price. And with everything going on still out there, especially Victoria, we're asking all our Victorian friends to stay safe. Stay away from apartment blocks that are locked down, and don't do anything silly over there. And hopefully we get through this sooner rather than later.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And please, if you are in Victoria and you feel a little bit overwhelmed by all this, or even if you're anywhere in Australia for that matter, and you feel like it's all getting to you, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. They do a great job, and there's always somebody there to listen and have a chat with. Now, normally, Zana, I'd also say hit us up on podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Everyone's heard it. Everyone knows I do it every week. Doing something a little bit different this month, Zana. I'm going to ask you not to go and leave a 5-star review. I'm going to ask you to jump onto my Twitter at OTLS Archie, follow the link in my profile there in the banner up the top, and donate to Dry July. I'm off the terps for the month, Zano.
Yeah.
Apart from one weekend, I've luckily been donated a golden ticket for the sister-in-law's engagement party.
Nice.
So I'm very much looking forward to that, but looking forward to raising some money. Zano, that's the important thing. So the money this year goes to Cancer Counselors. I think it does every year.
Yep.
And obviously, as you know, Zano, I lost my dad about 18 months ago to cancer. So given that we can't do our normal fundraising, we normally do Relay for Life, that doesn't look like it's going ahead this year due to obvious reasons. Dry July is the way to go. So please jump in, sling me $5, sling me $10, sling me $1,000, whatever you can afford. Would be very much appreciated.
Absolutely. Always a good cause. So anybody that wants to donate me some money fantasy-wise or picks, please do as well. You'll find me on Twitter.
You just want money for your fantasy team, do you?
I just need salary cap space so I can fix everything. But look, thanks everybody. Best of luck this week. Keep plugging away. It's just going to be one of those years.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.